All right, can we just rise to our feet quickly? Let's just declare God's word together, as we often do. Are we ready? All right, one, two, let us go. That the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, and I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will, and spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing Him in all respects. I am bearing fruit in every good work, and I am increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to His word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. I said amen.
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 Today, understanding will come to you again in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Insight is your portion in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
One scripture that struck me recently, the angel, all right, Gabriel, when he arrived at Daniel's place, he said, I've come to give you skill and understanding. I turned that into my display on my phone. I said, I have skill and understanding.
Yes, sir.
That God will grant me skill and understanding. In the name of Jesus, God will grant you skill and understanding.
Amen.
I said He will grant you skill and understanding.
Amen.
He will grant you skill and understanding.
Amen.
You will know the will of God at all times.
Amen.
And you will walk in it in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You will not walk in confusion.
Amen.
You will not walk in confusion.
Amen.
I say you will not walk in confusion.
Amen.
No matter what's going on, listen, you will not walk in confusion.
Amen.
You know, I was saying the other time, it struck me that when Peter said to Jesus, don't you care that we perish? All right? I just as if he was asleep. But it dawned on me that if he was asleep, Peter would not have said that. He said, don't you care that we perish? It means Jesus was aware that there was a storm. So what I suspect is that he went to sleep after the storm began. Or he sent one or two people to go and wake him up. He woke up and he didn't come. And that was his character. They went to call him and said, Lazarus was sick. He said, I'm busy. So they said that if he had come on time, the storm would not have toppled the boat. I don't know whether you're getting my point. So he turned to me that he said, don't you care that we perish? When a man says that, it means Jesus was aware of the situation. And what was upsetting Peter was that he was not responding. Now, my problem is not Peter. The issue is about the Lord Jesus. Why was he not disturbed? Because he had said to them, let us go on to the other side. So he knew that no storm can push us into the water. I'm talking about skill and understanding. That's what understanding does to you. It makes you sleep in the midst of a storm. Yes. It helps you to sleep in the midst of a storm. If a woman is in labor, she's shouting, one day, in fact, my sister-in-law was in labor. And because the doctor taking care of her is a colleague of mine, so when I call local, my wife is coming, and I just went like that. He said, okay. Oh. So he came to personally attend. So while she was inside screaming, he and I sat outside and were gisting. Like nothing was happening. And I remember that her mother was looking at us with one kind of like, are these people okay? Then she would hear shouts from inside. And that guy and I were just talking like nothing was happening. He said, so what happened? And then the dean did like, are you serious? We're talking like nothing was happening. And we're hearing shout and go, shout going up, shout coming down. I still remember her mother was looking like, these two people, are they okay? Can't they see that something is going on? Don't you care that she perished? Are you getting my point? That's what skill and understanding does. Why were we not bothered? The man had gone in, all right? He's a highly skilled obstetrician. He had gone in, checked her, checked everything, said she's fine. So after deciding that, he came and sat down and was telling stories. No matter what he was hearing, it was not an issue. It's just a matter of time. You soon hit 10 cm dilatation and this and this and that, and you will push two or three times, and a new baby will be born into the world and will rejoice. Like Jesus said, that a man has been born into this world. That is what skill and understanding does. It calms your heart. It calms your soul. It does not allow you to be disturbed. I am convinced that was why Jesus went to sleep. It wasn't like he was not aware. He was aware, but he was not disturbed. But Peter, not knowing that, said, don't you care that we perish? Same thing happened to Elisha. Alas, my master, what are we going to do? Elisha said, this boy, please, I'm sleeping. Look at the chariot surrounding. Elijah said, Lord, so that I can continue my sleep, please open his eyes. Skill and understanding, that allowed Elisha to sleep in the midst of dollar hitting 500 naira. I don't know whether you're getting my point here. Skill and understanding allowed him to be calm, even though people said there was economic recession. Everybody was shouting. A colleague of mine sat with me today in the office. He said, what do you think the president should do now? I said, he can't do anything. He said, no, look at it. Look at it. Talk. What do you think the man should do? He was disturbed. I was just there, I was smiling. I mean, there are a lot of things we have come to understand. James said, beloved, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. That's what happens when you have skill and understanding. You count it joy even though you are inside temptation. Trials, that's what I was talking about. You count it joy. It's called skill and understanding. Let me say it to you again. Listen, because when people misinterpret things, you see a woman shouting, she's shouting. Then you say, why is she screaming? There's a problem. Say she's in labor. You just say, oh, is that so? Then you suddenly calm down. What happened? You understand that, look, in a short while, this will be over. In the same manner, no matter what you are in right now, if you understand that it's labor, best pains, God wants to best a new business for somebody, and he's complaining of poverty. Are you getting my point? God wants to best a new career. He's complaining I was sacked. God wants to best something new. Finally, after you waited for 6 months, the woman I told you yesterday, my spirit says no. And you are thinking that I will be a fulfillment of the prophecy that pastor gave, that by February some people will marry. When they tell you yesterday, no. Now you look yourself, check him again. Listen, let me give you the word of the Lord. It works all the time. You know the word of the Lord? It takes away the first. Finish it like you believe it. To establish the second. The second is coming into your life in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
That is what skill and understanding does. It calms your soul. I remember what we said before. Before Jesus could speak to that storm, he had to be able to sleep through it. Let me say that again. Before Jesus could speak to the storm, he had to be able to sleep through it. If you can't sleep through a particular disturbance, you cannot speak to it to stop. You must understand what God is doing in our lives. It's not just to get results for us. That's not what the primary thing he's doing. It's that transformation. So that in the end, they say, you get home. Now, you just got fired. You were waiting for a promotion. You got sack letter. You're married. You have 3 children. They have to eat. Landlord's rent. The house is not yours. It's due maybe in the next 3 weeks. Okay? And school is supposed to start 4 weeks from now. So, over the next few weeks, you need Pepe, hey, thank you, man of God. You need something. They now got to work, they now sack you. When you get home, you're looking sad. So your wife suddenly looks and says, hey, what is wrong? That's one way of doing it. But there's a way in which you just get home and say, wait till this house, man, no good job. Anything to eat? And she's thinking, wow, the race we are expecting has come. Give me food. We sit down there, you laugh, you gist, you watch TV, you dance. And I said, how was work today? Looks like I have to leave that office. What happened? You sure had the termination of appointment. And that's why you have been rejoicing the whole evening. Don't you care that we perish? Listen to me. Look, what I want to say is the word of God. If you can do that, not because you're trying to act, but because you are persuaded. If you wake up in the morning and say, job, come, it will come. You will have to refuse to call a new job. Just say to you, hey, don't. I wanted to remember something you used to think about 7 years ago. Say, yes, time to start. Listen, life will have to succeed by grace. Yes. And what am I saying? Grace is not released to people who are panicking. No, it's not released. If somebody is disturbed, God can't do anything in his life. He can't do anything in her life. That was why the Lord always told people, relax, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid is not counsel. It's not like, look, don't disturb me. I want to walk, move to the side. No. When he says, don't be afraid, he understood that when you are afraid, you short circuit the power. Suddenly returns. He can't come to you again. So he says, don't be afraid. Every time God, the Lord will meet somebody, the first thing he will say to the person is what? Fear not. Fear not. Because once he's afraid, that's it. What God wants to do, he can't do it. What God wants to say, he can't hear it. That's why I say it again. Any storm you can't sleep through, you can't speak to it. Jesus could sleep through that storm. He knew something was going on. But he felt his rest was more important than all this rowing and paddling and the sail up, sail down, anchor in, anchor out. He said, Peter, please, I'm going to sleep. That's when Peter said, so it doesn't matter to you that we're about to drown. So he looked at Peter, who's about to drown? What's all the drowning business? Now, this is my conviction. I'm convinced about this. Were it not for Peter and co, the Lord would not have spoken to that storm. He would have left the storm alone. The storm will mind itself. The worst the storm would do is to blow the boat quicker to the other side. That was why he wasn't planning to talk to it. Peace be still. It was more like, Peter, peace be still. James, peace be still. John, peace be still. The peace be still was as much for them as much as it was for this wind and the storm. Because I don't believe he had any plan of speaking to it. He was planning to sleep through it. When you finish tossing and turning, maybe you will calm down. I hope you're getting my point.
Yes.
Let me say it today again. God will give you skill and understanding.
Amen.
The Lord will give you skill and understanding.
Amen.
You will understand what is going on in your life.
Amen.
You know, the greatest prayer point for me, I woke up during the night this night. Because last night, that thing slept with me. Skill and understanding. So I woke up during the night, looked for the scripture, read it up and down. Different translations. I said, Lord, I want to ask you for one thing. Give me skill and understanding. I broke it down to different areas. Especially as it had to do with ministry. I said, Lord, let me not stand up and be talking like a fool, you know? People are glad to listen to you. You're just talking, chasing things that are not chasing them. Let me be able to give people skill, because you see, Bezalel and Oholiab, God gave them skill and gave them the ability to transfer it to people. I said, Lord, when I stand before your people, let me be able to transfer skill and understanding to them. I hope you're getting my point here. That's what you need to do. I say to you again, receive skill and understanding.
Amen.
Receive understanding in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Receive insight in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
God will make you, will fill you with the spirit of knowledge and understanding.
Amen.
He will fill you with wisdom.
Amen.
The Lord will fill you with the knowledge of his will.
Amen.
In all spiritual wisdom and understanding.
Amen.
I like the way we say it, taking from that Colossians chapter 1, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, to bear fruit in every good work, and to increase in the knowledge of God.
Amen.
Listen, every adversity in life is teaching you something. Do you hear what I said?
Yes.
As a matter of fact, every adversity is teaching something. The greatest thing, all right, this is how you handle issues in life. Make sure you don't miss the lesson. There's nothing that's happening in your life that there's no lesson that you will learn from. That you won't learn a lesson from. There's nothing. There is nothing. That's why you find out after Abraham will have a challenge, will have a problem. After God will deliver him from it, he will build an altar unto the Lord. And he will call upon the name of the Lord. What is the idea? Each time he discovers the face of God in a new dimension. That's what used to happen to him. And that's why he will build an altar. Now, please, I'm explaining something here. And that is what is more important. You know, sometimes people go through issues. I was talking to one brother the other day. By the time he finished telling me all the things happening in his life, I said, I hope you know it is God that's doing this to you. That was all I told him. I said, I hope you know it is God. I hope nobody told you it is the devil. I hope you know this one is God. This devil worship, let's forget it all. I said, I hope you know this one is God. That he takes people through situations like this in life. And what's most important for you to discover his purpose at such a time like this. That's why when we're talking about this skill and understanding, that's why it's very important. Because a lot of people, when they miss what God is doing, you know, they are trying to solve a problem that is not the problem. There are people that God wants to wear them out. Do you hear what I said? He wants them to be tired. You know the story of the drowning man? That you don't rescue a man about to drown until he's worn out. Yes, because if you try, he will drown the two of you. One brother sent me a message today. He said, I finally read Happiest People on Earth. I said, wait till I catch you. You are finally reading it. Some people are looking at me like, please, tell us not to put up our hands. Please, please, please. Please read the book. Why am I referring to it again? In it, Demos Shakarian was starting the fellowship, Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship International. And he had all kinds of strategies to use. And the Lord just waited patiently so that he will use them. So he used all of them, and they all failed. A man came from Europe and said, just come over. No, that was from England, I think. He said, come over. This is so beautiful. The church there, they will receive it. So he went over. And he said, when the man received him, he knew there was a problem. I've been trying to explain it to them. They don't seem to be getting it. They don't seem to be getting it. They don't seem to be getting it. Make a long story short, after going over, nothing. He went back home. He went to Texas. He said, this is Texas. Here we do everything big. Everything here is big. You don't blame them. The state is very big. A friend of mine once told me that his wife went out. They live in Houston. She was within Houston, but on the highway is 1 hour's drive within Houston. So there are places you fly within Texas, more than 1 hour flight. See, their roads big. So they said, Demo Shakarian, come, we'll do you big. And they hired a big hall, did big adverts, big billboards, big everything. And the day of the program, there was a big emptiness in the hall. The whole hall was empty. Only the organizers came. The only person that was there that was not an organizer was the janitor. The man that will lock the door when they are done. No, you should know when God said nobody will come. Because normally, and somebody should come to look to find out what is happening. God said, no, I can't. Oh, I'm just seeing the angels in my mind. I just imagine, you know, when God wanted to block the entrance, the access to the tree of life, you know what he did now? Put an angel there. Was it two of them? Two angels, right?
Yes.
Put two angels there. Had their swords. I'm sure Adam could see them. Eve could see them. So he didn't go near. In the same manner, God put some angels near that event center. I said, nobody's coming near here. And he drove everybody away. You should know when God is obstructing you. There are things that even the devil cannot do. Even if God says, I hereby authorize you to do it. The devil says, I can't. Can you lend me some angels? The devil can't do some things. You should know when God is obstructing you. You spend so much money to import goods or manufacture goods and he's staying there in your warehouse looking at you. Not one sells, not one. And you spend money on marketing and advertising. Don't rebuke the devil, it's not the devil. It's God that says, this thing is not selling. God blocked the Moshe Karen so heavily. Finally one day, remember where I started from? Remember where I started from? That God wants to wear some people out. Finally, one day, the man was worn out. He told his wife, I'm not doing it again. He said, even me, I don't tire. The whole family came to an agreement that we are not doing again. We are not doing again. We are not doing again. My friend Pastor Corey said, he used to believe that if he's at a church and in 6 months, cannot up to 50 or 100, either you are not called or you are lazy. And he went to Sokoto and started a job for 1 year, and there was not one person apart from himself. We just spoke about it a few days ago, and we were laughing on the phone. He said, oh boy, now I'm humble. He said he learned humility. There was nobody apart from himself. So he finally said, God, all right. Now I have discovered you didn't call me. You were calling somebody else. It was Nitel's fault. There was no empty in that time now. I think it was the day after he said that, Oman looked and said, sir, I want to join your church. I was the first member he had. The day he said, I'm not doing it again. And then the church began to grow. The church began to grow. Until he's now a powerful force in that area where he is many years afterwards. I hope you're getting my point here.
Yes, sir.
That was what happened to Demo Shakarian too. And the man, God wore him out. When he was tired, he realized that being rich wasn't going to get it done. The brilliance of the idea was not going to get it done. It was a connected man. Connection was not going to get it done. The day they started, Oral Roberts inaugurated the fellowship. Anointing of big men wasn't going to get it done. He had very powerful friends. Charles Price is like Rehan Bonnke being your friend. That kind of thing. He could call Charles Price at almost any time. Charles Price used to eat in his house. That was not going to get it done. He spent money, did everything. God checked to ensure that every idea he had to get the thing done would not work. Then finally, he got tired. And then the spirit descended on the house. And his wife began to play music. And he fell down and he was seeing visions. Let's summarize it. The Holy Spirit was saying to him, now I am going to move this thing by my strength. Next day he got up, his friend called him and said, listen, I own a press. Let's start a magazine. Another friend sent him money, I think $10,000. The man that said, look, shut this thing down, I'm tired too. The Holy Spirit woke down and said, send him money. He sent him money. One volunteered his press. They started Full Gospel. He said, this magazine is going to be the voice of Full Gospel Businessmen Fellowship International. So what do we call it? He said, it's a voice now. Yes, so let's call it Voice. That's how you have Voice till today. That's how it began. Next day, somebody's close to tiredness here. It's good for you. Better get tired quicker. Go and drink Valium. So I say, Lord, see, I can't get up. Because when you are weak, that's when you are really strong. Yes. His strength is made perfect in your weakness. That's what we're talking about. Say, God, listen, I've learned this one in recent times myself. This last few months, it's been the greatest lessons of my life, personally, that is, in this particular area. That God just wants us to know that if he's your strength, look, I am not doing. Look, I don't want you to start preaching things that won't let the next generation succeed. Yes, next generation will now be telling them. I hear all kinds of counsel from preachers. As they are saying it, I'm shaking my head. There are people I don't share some things with because I know what they'll say. They'll be giving me human idea. Like I said, I was telling Ify, if he was getting discouraged because of our work over there and all of that, I said, Ify, he said, hey, maybe they need to ginger. I said, hey, Ify, sit down. Sit down. I said, my dear sister, there are only two things Christians are supposed to do, and that's my plan. If they don't work, I shut it down, I go back home. After all, no be business say, okay, we have lost our investment. Thank God, say, now offering money. Yes, offering money now. We spend the offering money to preach the gospel. If it doesn't work, we go home. I said, listen, my sister, this is all I do. He said, Paul planted, Apollos watered. Then God gave the increase. I said, all I'm going to do is identify the seed I'm supposed to sow. And check how we are supposed to water. I said, my understanding right now is, I said, this traveling up and down, preaching like this that we are doing is the seed. I said, let's just learn to water. You guys over here, over there, gather, pray. Certain time of the week, we here will gather. Certain time of the week, we pray for some time. I said, let the Lord do that which is pleasing in his sight. I'm not doing any of that thing. Initial thing, he said, you go do. I said, hey, we already have our outreach program, which is preaching on air. I said, we are doing that. I'm not printing flyer for anybody again. Don't go house to house. Please come and hear the word of God. If you don't want to hear the word of God, it's your problem, actually, not mine. I'm not the angel of God that will come and compel you. So maybe it's my personal problem. I don't know how to invite people to church two times. First time I'll tell you, say, come and study the word of God with us now. You say, okay. I don't see you. I say, you didn't come. You see, we normally go for swimming lessons. That's the last one. I'm not telling you again. I'm not talking again. I will not tell you how your life will transform. I'm looking at you like this. Where is the direction to the place? Go and check the website. Tell me now. I'm looking at you like this. I'm John the Baptist. Not John the Baptist, who came for baptism. He said, hey, they have gone. He said, who warned you to flee from the judgment to come? You two, they come church. That's it. John the Baptist. I have a bit of John the Baptist in me. If I ever have to follow somebody up, it's just maybe love. Are you getting my point? That I know you need help. You had some distress, so let me come and help. But it's not. In fact, I can be following you up, and you're going to another church. It doesn't concern me. It's just a matter of I'm helping you. But say count number, more people should come. I know one church does this. When they get to church, people are not there. Pastor will send everybody out. Go back. Go and bring your neighbors. Even those who are coming, God discourages them, but the work is too much. I told my sister, listen, we plant the seed. We water the seed. God gives the harvest. If he says he's not giving the harvest, if we don't see the harvest, we'll go and pray. Are we sowing the right seeds in the right place? Are we watering it appropriately? That's all the adjustment I'm ready to make. Any other one? No. I've learned I must cooperate with grace in this my life. Because I've discovered that God indeed, Jesus said, occupy with this until I come. You know the truth? He's coming. Yes, he's coming. He will arrive. And that's what I'm hoping on. Christians, we must learn to cooperate with grace. And many of us here today, God is waiting. God said, listen, this boy, you think you are tough? Just watch me. The day you are tired is when I will start. You will call everybody you know and they will all promise. Then I have to demonstrate to you that their promises is vanity. You know, please don't miss our series to be in January on Ecclesiastes. When Solomon said, vanity upon vanity. All is vanity. There are two sides to it. There is a side in which he was saying, all right, that this thing you're looking for, what are you going to do with yourself? It won't carry you to heaven. You won't take it to heaven. You know, that's one side. But it's another side in which he's saying, the result you want to get with it, I will show you it can't be gotten by that. That you will use all kinds of connections to get something that is simple. But listen though, even though you totally arrange the connections, you won't get that thing. You will now realize that your connection is what? Vanity. That's another side to it. There's the emptiness side in which the thing has no substance in itself. But there's another side in which God says, listen, it is not what we get to the result you are looking for. Many people, you know what God is doing? He's bringing them to that point in which they will realize it. You will get the best qualifications. You will not get a job at all. None at all. And when they start telling you why they are not giving you the job, you'll be afraid. Funny reasons. A friend of mine is a professor of engineering today. One of our brothers in school those days. He's of course an engineer. He had, I think, either a first class or a second class upper. Maybe it's a first, I can't remember for sure. And you will have thought, oil companies will grab him. He went to at least two oil companies those days, and they said to him they are not employing him. They said, why? He said, because your degree, your grade is so good, you will not be reliable with us. Other people will poach you. For the fear of poaching, all the oil companies did not touch him. He took up a job in the university out of nothing else to do. You were talking about it, we were laughing. You would have thought a man that came out, you know, first class in engineering, He went to one oil company, they said, you have a first class? A dangerous man, go. He went to the other one, the same thing. It was as if they all gathered and conspired and said, we will not give him a job. I said, what? Brilliant chap. He only showed me this. I said, hey, this world is upside down. So listen, God, listen, what he wants to do? He wants to wear some people out. I found out that, I was saying something earlier, one of my greatest lessons, my major lesson in the last 1 year is God removing every form of confidence I have in myself. Do you get my point? Yes. If you say, all right, I can speak good English, they will let me in because they need people who can speak good English. That day they will put somebody at the door who is angry with those who speak good English because he has been trying. So when you get a Chinese man, you start to say, hello, good morning. You put on your good English, say, yeah, good morning. Please, we came here because, in his mind, oppressor, you won't enter this place. Come pass now. Don't be people like you, they laugh at the club the other day about my English. You don't know, you know they go club, you are not there. But the Lord did it in such a manner that some people were laughing at his English at the club. So since that day, he's been angry with anybody whose English is smooth. The man will say, I'm sorry, you cannot go inside, you stay outside. You won't know why. The one man will come who has less qualification than you. The only thing he has that day is say, in English, not straight. So you come there and say, Oga Chinko, how far now? Oga De, once you see the bad English, you say, yes, Oga is looking, waiting for you. Go inside. You won't know why. That's why Solomon said, I have spoken good English and I discovered vanity upon vanity. All is vanity. That's been my greatest lesson in the last 1 year. anything and say, yes, I can do this because we have experience with this. Because it's all right. But you know the good thing, the advantage I have? I know they fear devil. So once I'm there, I say, wait, it's not devil. No, not in my life. I go and pray. And I say, Lord, I renounce in the name of Jesus every confidence in myself. Paul said that that's what Paul said. He was explaining it. So that our confidence will not lie in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. I hope you're getting my point.
Yes,
so God is doing you a favor. Tell your neighbor, he's doing you a favor.
He's
doing you a favor. So it's good that you were broke.
It's good that you were broke.
Tell the person it's good that you were broke.
It's good that you were broke.
There are those that if God has given them money, they never have gone far in life. Because the father they did get money is the reason why they couldn't go where they wanted to go. Do you know there are miracles in the life of Paul that happened in the life of Paul that were enjoying today, which was tied to the fact that they didn't have money? You see what am I talking about? Now I have to deduce this one by long concatenation and interjection and deduction. It was a lot of apocalypsis and exegesis. What's apocalypsis? The revelation. Chris Okoti, thank you. Now listen, Paul wrote them to the Roman church. He wrote to the Roman church. I wanted to come to you, but I was hindered. I wanted to come and impart a spiritual gift to you, but I was hindered. Now, because of that hindrance, what did he do? He wrote a letter. Because of that, billions and billions have spent hundreds of billions of hours reading the book of Romans. Thank God he was hindered. Father, hinder him some more. You get the revelation here. What was the hindrance? There are people think that God, there are times they say, let's go. Have you bought the ticket? Timothy said, Oga, there's recession. Every ship now, they charge 5 denarii. How much do you have there? Okay, last meeting, there was no offering. I wanted to say offering time. He told me it's not offering time. I sat down. Look at it now. We can't go to Rome. So how much do you have? Timothy will check. Everything we have now is like 4 denarii. That can't even pay for one person. So go and buy scroll. Buy ink. Come back. They will sit down. Write. Paul, an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, sent by God, not by man, to the church in Rome. Grace and peace be multiplied to you. You'll be writing, Timothy will be writing, looking, what's the point? I wanted to come to you, but Timothy said there was no money. Then you finish. When you finish writing, Timothy said, what next? Go and post it. The rest of the money just enough to post to the church at Rome. 2,000 years later, you and I were sitting down, we are unrolling that scroll and decoding the revelations of God. Romans chapter 4 is one of the best revelations on faith in the whole scripture. That's the story about how Abraham was justified by faith and not by works. Why? Because a man was hindered. May that kind of hindrance come into your life. Say amen like you want it now.
Amen.
Thank you. Don't be afraid. Hindrance is good. As a kind of hindrance that builds companies for people that lost jobs. Are you getting my point here? The kind of hindrance that makes a salary earner a multi-millionaire. Every adversity for the Christian has something that God is saying. And learning that lesson is more important to him than those outward things. I hope you're getting my point. It's so important to get this point. It is so important. Let me say it again. God is wearing some people out. Say, I will wear you out. Your uncle will disappoint you. Your savings will finish. In case you have savings, quickly go and finish it. In the midst of adversity. Do you know why? God said, look at this boy or look at this girl. All this money she has saved up is the reason why she's still smiling. And her friends think she has faith. Say she doesn't have any faith. Say none of these things move me. How will it move you? You have 1.5 million. Say I was sacked. You guys know me. I don't worry because they think so. I know you. You're not worrying. There is a reason. I need you to rejoice in the midst of adversity and not worry. So you'll be looking for another job, another business. God said, not until that one finishes. Every morning you have declared. You have declared this, you declared that, declared this. God said, He doesn't have anything against your money. He doesn't hate money. You know what he hates? The confidence that you have in it. This is your joy that your neighbors think is in the Lord. God said, I know where it is. It's not in the Lord. It's in GT Bank. It's in Zenith. You are pretending that I have joy in the Lord. You don't have joy in the Lord. You have joy in Zenith. It's when that old joy has finished. You now look and say, So, well, how are you doing? Oh, girl, how are you doing? I don't know what's wrong with this Buhari man, sir. Ever since, is this the change you were asking for? He said, sister, when did you become like this? No, we have to face reality. Since he came in. And your friends are wondering, what's going on? Thank God I didn't vote for him. Otherwise, it would have been on my conscience right now. Can you imagine? Rubbish. All these people, their Islamic agenda. And the angels are laughing. God is laughing. All the angels are laughing. He said, wait, leave her. We have gotten to the point. And now you're not hungry. Well. I said, God, please now. One angel would have dragged you to church. You now start hearing revelation. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So it's true. I rejoice at thy word, like him that finds great spoil. Is that so? But then you're hearing this word one after the other. So it's making sense. You know why it can make sense? Because your joy is no longer a zenith. Zenith has closed. In fact, they've warned you about dormancy. So your joy is not there anymore. When it's let us worship God because he's good, then you jump up and you worship from the bottom of your heart. Your friends see you next time. He said, I was thinking about that Buhari thing. He said, Buhari, a man sent by God for such a time as this. Yeah, the one preaching the message now. He looks like, what's going on? You're not angry again. Let's worship God. Good things. Next thing you know, your phone will ring. What's happening? One application you dropped 18 months ago, you've forgotten. They will call you. Why? That time when they give you, I'm going to pay you 10 million naira a month. Doesn't matter again. Why? You have transferred your joy to the Lord. Now money doesn't move you again. I say, okay, what am I supposed to do with it? Just say, Lord, let's bless you with this. Suddenly you are, God, this is where we are going to. This is where we are going to. It took us all these months just to deplete your savings. That's all. We're doing all of this to deplete your savings. And the moment you learn the lesson, look at where you are today. That's what I meant when I said God wants to wear some people out. You'll be worn out. You wake up in the morning and say, go and write application. Say, I'm not writing. Call your uncle. I'm angry with him. Not that kind of anger. It's like, I don't want to call anybody. Are you going out today? No. Why? I'm tired. All of them, they have failed. I spend a week worshiping and not trying anything. Say, I hate that this place they are employing. Say, I'm not going. And you've reached that level. I say, good. Exactly what I did in the life of Demon Shakarian is about to start in your life. I hope you got to my point.
Yes, sir.
I think that's the message I have for today. That's all. Apostle Mutimuti. I think we are done. We can go home on time today. The Lord is good.
All the time.
I said the Lord is good.
All the time.
I said the Lord is good.
All the time.
All right, we are going to rise in a moment. We just declare the word of God and literally we should close on time today. There was something we were doing earlier and I've been emphasizing it. Let's not forget it. What God is doing, just like what I've been saying, is that he's rearranging our inside. That's what he's doing. One major thing that at least is my own personal life, which I have observed, is that God says, I don't want anybody that has confidence in himself. I don't want. Every iota of confidence that you have in yourself, I must wipe it out. There are people that God will say, that American passport, go and throw it away. Tear it, shred it, throw it away. Because it's something you tend to fall back on. Because every little bit of confidence in yourself, I must wipe out. There are degrees. God said, next time you're going to apply for a job, don't even tell them you went to school. It sounds, what I've said sounds very fun, right? Yes, I don't know how it's going to work out. But that's what, for some people, that's just the way it is. You just go there and go and display the skill I'm putting in your hands. He's just doing different things. There are different things that he's doing. But he said, every bit of confidence you have in yourself, I must wipe out. I'm talking about internal rearrangement. That's what he's doing. I'm convinced of this. A lot of things that God wants to do through his children, he's finding it hard. And I told that sometimes I look at God and I feel sorry for him. I say, God, sorry, oh, God bless you. You know that kind of thing? Yeah. Because there are things he wants to do. People will limit his hands. People are praying one way and living another way. Yet it's as if he's not answering prayers. He says, my hand's so short that I cannot deliver. We are making it look as if his hand is like that. What I want to say, people are not yielding enough to him. And that's what he's doing, correcting us, rearranging our inside. Listen, the devil is not your problem. I've said that again and again. It's that you have not yet reached where God wants to reach. He said, all men have sinned, all right? And as a result of their sin, what happened? They fell short of the glory of God. That is, when people are not in the right spiritual state, they cannot attain the glory that God wants them to attain. Don't look at that sin all the time as if I'm stealing, I'm doing that. No. Sometimes it's just wrong thoughts. Your ways are not my ways. Neither are your thoughts my thoughts. Wrong thoughts. Because that's the reason why you are not experiencing the glory. So let's correct this. Is that internal rearrangement that the Lord is doing in our lives? I hope you got to my point. So that's why I want us to do something. When we are praying, let's focus our prayers on that. Let's not focus our prayers on the things that are outside. When Paul said, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me, let's focus that on your internal rearrangement. I can overcome anger. I can overcome, strife. I can overcome, laziness. I can overcome putting my trust in man. Very important. Very, very important. I say, are you not going to call this person? There's temptation to call and ask for the person's help. Say, no, in the name of Jesus, I can do all things through Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm not going to call this man. The phone call is not the same. It's just the reliance on such things. God said, no, leave those things. You're getting my point here? So what do we do when we are praying? Let's focus our prayer on such things. So focus your prayer on becoming the man, the woman that God wants you to be. Listen, let's forget all these prayers of give me this, grab me that, bring this one in, let me have this. Let's forget that. Let's focus our prayer. And what God does is that each time you are hearing the word of God, he reveals an area of your life to you. That's what he does. People want to strive and start obeying God in that area. No, don't bother. Take that area to prayer. You pray until obedience is worked out of you. That's what happens. Yes. If you try, you get frustrated. But what you do is that you take it to prayer. And that's what I'm talking about. For example, maybe, let me get an example now. Some people, like I was saying earlier, part of their problem is their strength. They are too smart. They wake up too early. They have too much energy. So suddenly, when the word is coming forth, revelation comes to you. And it says that, listen, henceforth you will never leave the house before 7:30 in the morning. And before 6:30, you must be back home. If it's business, unless you're in church. That's a revelation that comes to you. And you are the type that has read all kinds of books like The Strong Man is a First Riser. Rises while every other man is still sleeping. He's there doing his business. And God says, it is vain to rise up early and go to bed late. That has given you a revelation. And you are working on that revelation now. Are you getting my point here? So one morning, when the Lord wants to allow you to be tempted, somebody will just suddenly tell you the night before. Say, that big business we're talking about? Yes. Or $10 is coming to town. I have arranged a meeting. He said his flight is for 7 a.m. out of town. Assuming he came with commercial. So the only time we can see him, we have to be in his hotel room by 6. He's driving out of the hotel by 6:15. I have made the arrangement. Just look at the person and say, 6, I am not coming. So what did you say? The temptation is to go. And he explains to you, that's the time you now start praying. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, it is vain to rise up early and go to bed late and eating the bread of hard sorrows. Who do I have in heaven but thee, O Lord? Upon this earth I have desired no connection. You are doing all of this because you just want to ensure that you don't leave your house that day before 6:30. Sometimes we focus on, yes, he will wait for me. Yes, he will wait for me. Yes, he will wait for me. Yes, I will get the deal. Yes, I will get the deal. Are you seeing my point? That is a wrong prayer at that time. No, so many times the prayers of Christians are focused outwardly. That's what I'm trying to say. The prayers should be focused inside. Let's focus the prayer inside. That is, at that time, you're not focused on, will I get that connection? Will that business open up? It is that, no, I will not go out. Are you getting my point here?
Yes, sir.
I will not go out. What are you trying to do? You are trying to make yourself, remember I said earlier, anything you cannot sleep through, what's the consequence? You cannot speak to it. If you cannot sleep through it, you cannot speak to it. And God wants to raise people that are not striking rocks anymore, but they are speaking to rocks. I hope you get my point. That's what I'm going to say. He wants to raise people. What does it mean to strike the rock? Use every kind of method you know. God says, no. That season is over. I want people who can sit in their homes and they can speak and things outside will respond. And it's not because they learned principles, you know, how to speak. It's because they became people that can sleep through storms. You are getting my point here? You will use the word of God to send yourself to sleep. Say, this storm, I'm not getting up. I told you, Jesus would not have gotten up. I'm convinced. Went up for Peter and Paul. Peter and James and John. They're making all the noise. He was aware there was a storm. He didn't get up. That was why Peter said, don't you care that we perish. He knew that Jesus knew there was a storm. If he didn't think so, he would have just said, Master, wake up. Wala day. But when he came with the rebuke, does it not bother you? I am convinced he has sent somebody. John got there. Nice guy. Good afternoon, sir. Please wake up, sir. Please, sir, wake up. Jesus woke up and said, what is it? You don't think there's any problem? Jesus looked and said, no, I don't think so. It's all right. If you say there's no problem, no problem. Because his own is that you can't feel this jigby. Jagba. All this rocky. What did you think we are playing music out there? Master, what do you think? I don't think anything. I think I'm sleeping. All right, sir. Please continue sleeping. Goes to meet Peter. Peter says, where is he? Sleeping. Did you wake him up? I did. Did he wake up? He did. Is he coming? Oh boy, I'm not sure. This is a problem when I send boys to do jobs that are meant for men. Andrew, you go. Good afternoon, sir. The Lord Jesus woke up. What is it? Peter was thinking maybe you... maybe you consider coming to look at the situation outside. What's the situation? The breeze is a bit strong, you know. I was just thinking that, you know, can you feel the boat going up and down? Jesus said, yes, I can feel it. Are you coming? No, I'm sleeping. Andrew came back. Where is he? Your points are the inner chamber. At that point in time, did he wake up? He woke up. He's not coming? No. Did he feel the breeze? Yes. He felt the rocking. You're sure you woke him up? Peter, waking him up is not hard. So Peter walks in. Wah. No, Peter, rough guy. Oga. Don't you care that we're about to perish? That was why he spoke like that. If Jesus was not aware there was a storm, there's no need for that statement. Jesus calmed the storm only to calm them down. The Lord is building you up into somebody who can sleep through the storm.
Amen.
And that must be the target of your life.
Amen.
Let's rise to our feet. Let us pray. Let's pray. Let us pray. One prayer point today. Say, Lord, thank you for the strength to sleep through the storm. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's what matters. Thank you for the strength to sleep through the storm. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Begin to declare that. That's what you need right now. The strength to sleep. It's not as if you are careless. It's that you are at rest. It's that you are at rest. You look at the investment, it's not yielding, yet you are sleeping well. That's what we're talking about. It's the rest that comes out of confidence. Say, Lord, thank you. I have that spirit, that peace of God that passes all understanding. If I make it a prayer point, say, Father, in the name of Jesus, fill me with the peace of God that passes all understanding. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God, Peter said. So say, Lord, that knowledge that produces peace, fill me with it. I declare. This thing is so important, that declaration. Say it again. I declare that I am being filled with the knowledge of your will. Because that is what brings grace and peace. I declare that I am being filled with the knowledge of your will. In all spiritual wisdom and understanding. That's what God is doing. He's building you up into somebody who can sleep through the storm. Say, Lord, I declare that I'm being filled with the knowledge of your will. Lord, I say I will sleep through the storm. The confidence to sleep through. That's what I'm talking about. The confidence. So that none of these things move me. That confidence. In which I know that my Father in heaven is taking care of me. More than the birds of the air are being taken care of by him. He's taking care of me. So that like James, I can rejoice when I fall into diverse temptations. So that's what I receive today. That's what I receive today. Say, Lord, that is what I receive today. That is what I receive today. Say, that is what I receive today. I receive it today in the name of Jesus. I receive it today. This is what the word of God does. It brings calm to our souls. I don't want to pray. Let's go for that peace of God first. The peace of God that passes all understanding. That's the first thing we need. Say, Lord, I receive peace. Just as you said, peace I give unto you. Say to him, say, Lord, today I receive that peace again. The ability not to be disturbed. I receive that peace again. People are often disturbed. They are doing business, it's not making money. They are disturbed. They are doing ministry, it's not growing. They are disturbed. Say, Lord, the power not to be disturbed. It's not as if we are careless. No. It's just that we say, no. We just want to focus on sowing the seed and watering the seed. That's all. Everything has a season. It's your season to sow many times. But people are looking for the anxiety. They are working anxiety as if it's time to harvest. Say, Lord, I receive the ability to relax. I receive confidence in my soul. I receive tranquility, peace. The peace of God that passes all understanding. I cast my burden upon the Lord. Lord, I cast my burden upon you. 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 Now, take a moment now. That thing that is in your mind, the main thing that's on your mind at this season, say, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I cast it over to you. Each person has something. There's something in your mind. Say, Lord, I cast it over. I cast it over to you. Cast it on him right now. Your need for money, a need in your family, a need in the ministry, a need in your career, something about your parents that's worrying you. Your father is not feeling well. Cast it over to him. Say, Lord, the health of my father, I cast it over to you. The need, the financial need, I cast it over. I cast my burden upon the Lord because he cares for me. And in return, Father, I receive the peace of God that passes all understanding. The peace that passes all understanding is what I receive back. The peace that passes all understanding. The peace that passes all understanding. Let's begin to give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. Thank you for today. Thank you for your anointing. Thank you for your word. Thank you for peace. Now declare after me, say, in the name of Jesus,
in the name of Jesus,
I am being filled with the knowledge of his will.
I am being
I have spiritual understanding.
I have insight.
I have skill.
I have understanding.
I have skill.
I have understanding.
Therefore, I am not disturbed by the storm on the sea. Even though my boat is being rocked, I am not disturbed. The peace of God that passes all understanding is with me. Say it again. The peace of God that passes all understanding
is with me.
Say, I have peace of mind because my faith is in Christ Jesus.
My faith is in the love of the Father.
I know the Father loves me and is watching over me.
Is watching over me affectionately.
Is watching over me with care.
I know,
no matter what I'm passing through, He is working His will in my life. Say, the storm cannot drown me. It's important you understand that. The storm cannot drown me. See, I will sleep in peace. Say, in peace I will sleep because the Lord makes me dwell in safety. Say, in the name of Jesus, the Lord gives to me because I'm His beloved, even while I sleep. That's the scripture. He gives to His beloved even in their sleep. That when they are not doing anything, is given to them. When they are on Sabbath, rest is given to them. When they are at rest in their homes, is given to them. Declare it again, say, in the name of Jesus.
The Lord is adding to me,
even while I maintain my peace. Say, the Lord is adding to me, even while I maintain my peace. Declare after me, say,
the Lord is my shepherd.
I shall not want.
The Lord is my shepherd.
I shall not want.
Say it again, the Lord is my shepherd.
He makes me lie down in green pastures.
He restores my soul.
Say, makes me lie down in green pastures. Say, even though I walk the valley of the shadow of recession,
I will fear no evil.
Because the Lord remains my provider. Let's make these scriptures real low. Are you getting my point? Say,
I will fear no evil.
Because the Lord is my provider.
He supplies all my needs
according to His riches in glory.
He makes all grace abound towards me.
I have all sufficiency in all things.
And I abound to every good work.
Say it again. I abound to every good work.
Sufficiency is my portion.
Now, I want to just, in line with what I said earlier, I want to just take a few declarations. You see, what God's God doing? He wants us to walk by His grace. So let's declare it again, that we are not succeeding by our own strength, we are not succeeding by our own energy, we are not succeeding by our own effort, but the grace of God is working with us. I hope you're getting my point here. All right, the Lord is good. So I want us to begin to declare it. Say, in the name of Jesus,
I'm not succeeding by my strength.
The grace of God is working towards me. Let's say like Paul, I am what I am by the grace of God. Say it again, I am what I am by the grace of God.
I will become what God wants me to be by His grace.
Say, His power is working towards me.
It will not prove vain.
His power is working towards me.
And it will not prove vain.
Say, His power is working towards me.
It will not prove to be vain.
The labor people will see in my life,
it will not be because of my strength,
but it will be because of the Spirit of God.
Say, the Spirit of God is working in me.
Say, the Lord is opening doors for me.
I am stepping through the doors that He is opening.
I am not succeeding by my connections.
The Lord is the one opening the doors.
You know, the other day, I thought about something. I thought about what it means to say you are trusting God. I wanted to be practical about it. Are you getting my point? I said, okay, what does it mean I'm trusting God? As an example for money. What it simply means is that I look at the normal ways by which money will come, and I say to them, it is not you I am depending upon. Okay. Then I just look around, you know, waiting for God to do something from different areas. I don't know whether you get my point here.
Sir. Yes, sir.
That is, I wake up in the morning, maybe I'm a businessman. I'll say, today, those who did not know me before, they will patronize me. A stranger will bring customers to my doorsteps. Are you getting my point?
Yes, sir.
For me to say a stranger will bring customers to me, it has to be God. The stranger does not know me. Why will he bring customers to me? You get my, it's not somebody I have connection, help me, help me, help me. I just say a stranger will bring help to me. It has to be God. I declare, those who don't like me, they will help me today. That has to be God. Are you getting my point? The birds of the air, they will bring food to me today. It has to be God. When Raven is feeding Elijah, it has to be God. I hope you're getting my point here. I just sat down to myself, what does it mean that I'm trusting in God? Ah, you see, that means I don't, now this was, for me, that was what was most important. I don't focus my eye on the place that I have seen him before. He has used that place. If he wants to use it again, that's his problem, not mine. But I just expect a miracle. I like one thing Kechene said once. I was listening to her on TV, watching a program on TV years ago. He said, faith does not know when, but he expects a miracle every day. I said, wow, that's a good definition. He said, faith may not be able to give you a time and a date, but every day it's expectant. Are you getting my point here? He said, that is what faith does. That's how faith behaves. What am I saying? Today again, let's declare. Say, Lord, our eyes are on you, and you are going to do something strange. Yeah, are you getting my point here?
Yes,
so declare, say, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Strangers will help me.
Strangers will help me.
Enemies will help me.
Enemies will help me.
The birds of the air, they will help me.
That
God will cause them to help me. Doors will open for me.
I
will walk through them.
Not
because of my strength.
Now
listen to this. Say, I will get employment where I did not apply. That's not a joke. Oh. That's not a joke. I have a practical experience. One day I was in Lagos when God made sure I couldn't get a job. Listen, qualification doesn't guarantee job. I came from my local that year, May, normally end of May. As soon as I drove from the bike that brought me from the gate of the university, we had it on the campus conference area, University of Benin. As soon as I dropped on the bike, my friend Chuk said, hey, Black! That's how he calls me. I hear you're the only jobless doctor in Nigeria. That was the greeting that day. He's a very funny human being. That was his greeting. And he shouted it for the whole world to hear. Hey, Black! I hear you're the only jobless doctor in Nigeria. I wasn't being lazy. I couldn't find a job. It's funny. Everywhere I went, I told them the truth. They refused to employ me. What was the truth? I said, listen, I'm waiting for a residency position in Lagos University Teaching Hospital. I'm looking for something to do. Meanwhile, no, they want a doctor that will stay with them. Okay. Someone said, stop telling them. And I said, they're asking. I can't be lying. Now, why am I telling this story? So one day, something happened. I can't remember exactly what, but I got home that day. I was just upset. I just said to the Lord, I said, Lord, please. And this, I finished NYC in October, November, December, January, February, March. Wasn't working. April, May, June. July. So that day I got home. I forgot what really precipitated that day. Something precipitated. I just go home. I just said, Lord, please. I'm tired. Please find me something to do. Now, the perfect plan of God was I shouldn't have a job at that period. I've told the story again and again, okay? But so, you know what he did? When I sat down, I kind of demanded, I said, Lord, find something. This guy got to do something. So the Lord said, no problem. How did I know he said it? Next day. At that next day or 2 days after, I think it was the next day. One of our brothers, he just walked down to my house. Somebody said, hey, bank, somebody's looking for you. So I came out, but I was staying upstairs. So I came out and said, come upstairs now. He said, no, I'm in a hurry. Take this address down. And I wrote the address down. I said, go there. They need a doctor for their night duties. And I walked in there, and they just said, okay, start work. They didn't even ask, where's the certificate? It was months later, one night I was on duty. I was talking with one nurse that was on duty. You know, we're just gisting. We're just talking and talking. That told me about one fake doctor that came there and told me a lot of stories. I said, before they start thinking I'm fake, next day I went and met the admin manager. I said, you never asked for my documents now. He said, oh, you must have asked, but you didn't bring it. I said, no, you never asked. You never did. Just by the way, he now started harassing me after that day that I should bring it. So I refused to bring it. No, there's this fleshly thing. He harassed me. He'll come and threaten fire and brimstone. I'll look at him and I walk away, and in my mind, you ain't going to get it. I was the one that came to tell you. Now you're now. So finally, I think he got tired. Maybe he reported to the MD. The MD told him to leave me alone. So after I left him for like 3 days, don't do like that, it's fleshly. That's what they call carnality. I now brought it and gave to him, like, take. Now, what I'm telling the story is that, listen, one day, I just said to the Lord, Lord, you don't do. Next day, I didn't apply, I didn't know they existed. A friend of mine just walked and said, take this address down. Go there, they need somebody. Are you getting my point here?
Yes, sir.
Let me prophesy to somebody here. You will get a job where you did not apply.
Amen.
A door will open for you in your business, in your career, in your ministry that you did not know as of today that it exists.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's how you know it's God that is helping you. Let me say it again. A door will open for you that as of today, you don't know such doors exist.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
God will send you help.
Amen.
You will be at peace.
Amen.
If you have not been sleeping well, listen, all these antihypertensives, your problem is sleep. What did I say?
Sleep.
You have not been sleeping. You've been disobeying scriptures. You want to use medicine to bring health into your body. It doesn't work. Obey God. Tell your neighbor, obey God.
Obey God.
Sleep on time.
Sleep on time.
Quench your phone.
Tell your neighbor, quench your phone.
Tell your neighbor, quench your phone.
Put off your data.
Waiting. Look for. It's well with you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I said it's well with you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
God will cause all grace to abound towards you.
Amen.
You will have all sufficiency in all things.
Amen.
And you will abound to every good work.
Amen.
Behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river,
Amen.
And the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream.
Amen.
That word will be fulfilled in your life in this season,
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
This season, you will give a Christmas gift to somebody.
Amen.
Listen, lack will not prevent that.
Amen.
You will prosper and you will do it,
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let's give God thanks. We are closing now. Just give God a lot of thanks. Say, Father, we thank you. Say, Lord, we give you thanks. Say, Lord, we give you thanks. Father, we give you thanks. Just give him thanks. Say, Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, let's share the grace in fellowship. I want us to hold hands with somebody on your left and your right. You have peace in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Tell your neighbor, you have peace in the name of Jesus. You can sleep through the storm.
You can speak to the storm.
Tell somebody else,
you can sleep through the storm.
And you can speak to the storm. All right, let's share the grace in fellowship. One, two, let's go. Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessings. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of fruitfulness and multiplication in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. One more time. Please bless somebody on your left or your right. Another person you are going to do for. The third person, this is your season of fruitfulness and multiplication. Now the last person, this is your season of fruitfulness and multiplication in the name of Jesus. All right, cheer up, brethren.